The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
I'd ask you to turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 as we sing in our final song this evening, when we all get to heaven, just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. Amen. And we want to consider this evening rest for the troubled. Rest for the troubled. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Now, is that a verse that speaks to you tonight? Is that a verse that speaks to anyone here in this world? And I think we can all relate to that, because this is a world that's filled with trouble. It's a world that's filled with tribulation. God made this place perfect, and we messed it up. Yeah. Adam sinned, and He made it perfect. But now this world is corrupted by sin, and as we're going to make our way over to John chapter 16 and 33, along with quite a few other places in a minute, in this world you shall have tribulation. And I put it another way, in this world you shall have trouble. And if this first half of this verse applies to you that are troubled, if you feel troubled here in this world, it is great that the Lord has given us a message of rest. Amen. A message of rest. And I'll go ahead and give you the end of the story, by the way, because I'll read the second half of the verse. Ultimately, rest is not going to fully come here in this world. Rest is going to come at the second coming of the Lord.
Amen.
To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. And I'm thankful that peace is a fruit of the Spirit, and we can commune with the Holy Spirit here in time. And also there in John chapter 16 and 33, He said, in this world, in Me, you might have peace. And Jesus is one with the Holy Spirit, right? So if we're in Jesus and we're in the Holy Spirit, we can have peace. But our souls will never be fully at rest until we are through with the trouble of this world.
Amen.
Let's back up to verse 4 here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And this church at Thessalonica specifically is enduring some heated trouble, not just general trouble, because we have general trouble here in this world. We have general difficulties, general burdens of the soul, general conflicts, relational, financial, in your jobs, etc., etc. But this church at Thessalonica was enduring some specific trouble. So that we, verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulation that ye endure. They were enduring persecution. And I am very thankful for the providential guidance and the protection that we have been afforded in America by the First Amendment rights. And I pray that we're blessed to have those First Amendment rights of the freedom of religion upheld. Mm-hmm. And this is a privilege that we've had for a couple hundred years in America that almost no Christian has enjoyed.
Right.
And I'm ashamed to say what we've done with it, mm-hmm. which is very little, unfortunately. But beyond just simply a sneering look or a scoffing comment, these people are enduring real persecution, martyrdom, persecution and tribulation. And when you're enduring that, it's very difficult to stay patient, as it says here, patient and faithful in the midst of that severity of trouble and that severity of temptation. Verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom for which you suffer. They're suffering for the kingdom of God's sake. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. In other words, there are some people that are causing you trouble right now, and they're causing you tribulation. And these believers here in the Thessalonican church,
They did what they ought to do. They commended vengeance over the Lord. That's what we're told to do in Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. And they commended vengeance to the Lord. You know, it's not our place to exact vengeance on those that persecute us. We just know that every sin is going to be paid for. Either it was paid for, if that's a child of God that's deceived, or maybe they're not born again yet. If that sin is being committed by an elect child of God, then that sin was paid for in the person of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And if they're not a child of God, it's going to be paid for them in the lake of fire for all of eternity.
Amen.
Every single sin is going to be fully paid for, either in the person of Jesus Christ or in the offender. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
No sin goes past the judgment of God.
Amen.
But he says, the people that are troubling you, the people that are wicked, that are persecuting you, and they're causing you trouble right now, he gives them a great affirmation that, you know what? Their day of tribulation is going to come.
That's right.
They're going to have problems. And I'll tell you what, this is... I'm just going to get to the end of the story, okay? The end point of the message before we make our way there is that any trouble, any tribulation that we endure here in this world is so minuscule and such a... It's not even a speck in eternity.
Amen.
In light of eternity, in light of the eternal rest that the children of God will have in the presence of God for all of eternity, any minor tribulation, and in the scope of eternity, not in the scope of our lives, but in the scope of eternity, the worst thing you can endure is still minor.
Right, amen.
It's still minor, especially compared to the suffering that Jesus Christ paid for our sins on the tree of the cross. Any suffering that we endure is minor compared. Any cross that we bear is minor compared to the suffering that Jesus Christ endured on the cross. But praise God, we have the hope of an eternal rest. Eternal rest. And that's how we can endure the trouble of this world. That word trouble there, both in verse 6 and verse 7. I'm not going to give you all the Greek words. You can look them up in the Strong's yourself if you want to. But I am going to give you some definitions of these Greek words, because I believe that this gives the depth of the suffering and the pain that's being described. Not just general trouble, okay? Not just general trouble. The depth of the pain and the suffering upon the soul of the child of God that we have to endure here in this world. The word trouble in verses 6 and 7 says, to crowd, to press as grapes, to press hard upon a compressed way. This gives the idea of grapes in a wine press. And at this time, the way that you press down those grapes in a wine press was under the feet of a person. You have the grapes. And these people, these church at Thessalonica, they felt pressed down under the feet of their adversaries, didn't they? They felt crowded. They felt pressured. They felt pressed down beyond measure. What happens to those grapes? They don't just withhold the pressure. No, they secrete the juice. They break down under the pressure. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, see if any of this... this feeling of pressure and trouble relates to you here in this world. I want to say, though, I am so thankful for God's blessings in our life. I'm so thankful for what he's given us. But our soul will never be fully satisfied here in this world. That's what David said in, I believe it's Psalm 17 and the last verse of that chapter. When I awake in thy likeness, when I see you in righteousness, then I'm going to be fully satisfied. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 8, we are troubled on every side. Everywhere I look, there's trouble. We're troubled on every side, but don't get discouraged, child of God, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. We see in the 7th chapter of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. No rest. Why was there any rest? For we are troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. It's so encouraging to me to read the authenticity of the New Testament and the Old Testament scriptures. You know, we see the Apostle Paul and we think that he's Iron Man or Superman, and he is above the challenges of a person just like me. No, the Apostle Paul had fears internal.
Yes, he did.
As well. Without were fightings, but within were fears. Now, praise God, even though he felt troubled on every side, he felt pressed, he felt compressed on every side, God gave him comfort. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down. Isn't that a great thing to think about? When you're cast down, you're in a position that God takes note of that, where he will comfort you. And how did he comfort him, by the way? This tells you how important fellowship is in the church. How did he comfort the Apostle Paul, when he felt pressed and troubled on every side, without were fightings and within were fears? How did he comfort the struggling apostle? He comforted him by the coming of Titus. Not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, and we were told of your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, and so that I rejoiced the more. His beloved brother in Christ came to him, and they were able to hug, and they were able to embrace, and they were able to feel the love of Christ in their fellowship. But also, isn't it good to hear good news from a far country,
Amen.
Too? Isn't it good to hear a great report that Titus gave him, especially Apostle Paul with the church of Corinth? He was very concerned because the first letter was very harsh. He was very stern, and he was concerned about how it was going to be received. But wasn't it great to have Titus come back and tell him they didn't, you know, get mad at the messenger? No, they received it with meekness and repentance. And I am comforted in the fact that you were comforted, even though my message was a message of a very severe, harsh rebuke. But this tells us what a great impact we can have on other people, because many times we don't know the full extent that someone might be going through, but just our presence can be, understand what he's saying here. God comforted me through Titus. What a blessing to be Titus.
Right?
What a blessing to be Titus, and you being the means that God uses to provide comfort to his apostle who felt trapped and troubled and fearful. That tells you how important fellowship is.
Amen.
In the church. We can't be a silo. We can't be by ourselves. And you need to make the effort to interact with other people, because you never know the full extent of someone might be cast down in just your appearance. And we're not always able to see someone in person, but sometimes just as much as a text message or a phone call can give just as much encouragement. God can send comfort to his people through another disciple. Let's go and read John chapter 16 and 33. John chapter 16 and 33. We'll begin in verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Now, we're going to have eternal rest. Praise God. But we can abide, he says in the 15th chapter here of this final sermon he's given to the apostles. He says, abide in me. Abide in me. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's one with the Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit is peace. So if you abide in Christ, you're going to have peace. And praise God, we can have peace here in this world. But at the same time, in this world, you shall have tribulation. You shall have tribulation. And as we well know, that shall is just as strong as all the other shalls in the Bible that that we hold to. It's just as much of a certainty. Now, don't get discouraged by the middle phrase, right? It's a reality. In this world, we're going to have tribulation, but don't be sorrowful. Don't be discouraged. Why? Be of good cheer. Why? Because this world that gives you tribulation, I've overcome the world, right? Praise God.
Amen.
2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. We have this language that describes Lot and the vexing of Lot's soul. And Lot is a great example that a child of God can stray from the straight and narrow.
Yes.
It's unfortunate that he can, but it also shows you he's going to be absolutely miserable mm-hmm. with the decisions that he made. Now, it's not pre-programmed that every single child of God is going to grow and progress in discipleship and reach some level of faith and holiness and good works. We can fall. And Lot is one of the pinnacle examples of that. But he was absolutely miserable in his rebellion to the Word of God. Just like Solomon. Solomon, by the end of his life, he was apostate. He married all them women, and they turned his heart away from God. And just read the book of Ecclesiastes to see how miserable Solomon was as an old man.
Yeah.
Why? Because he'd left his faith in Jehovah God. He tried to indulge himself in all the things of the world. And what was his conclusion? By going the broad way. What was his conclusion? It's all vanity and vexation of spirit. Yeah. He was absolutely miserable. And you know what? How did Lot get where he got? By his own bad decisions. By his own bad decisions. But he was absolutely miserable. Lot was absolutely miserable. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. Deliver just to Lot. I tell you, if it wasn't for that one word right there, and then a description of him being righteous in verse 8, there is very little fruit of the Spirit that's displayed in an outward way in the Old Testament description of Lot. If it wasn't for these two verses, we would not have very strong confidence in our courtroom of justification by works, if you will, to say that Lot is a child of God. But you know what? He had a just soul.
That's right.
But that soul was not happy. It was not at rest. It was not at peace. It had trouble. Why? Because of his own bad decisions.
Amen.
To pursue the world instead of seeking God. And deliver just Lot and vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And he made a decision to put himself in a location, in an environment that was not going to be beneficial for his discipleship or his service to Jehovah God. He made decisions that made his lot, no pun intended, his lot a lot worse than it could have been. But at the same time, even when we're committed to living a righteous life, if we're living in the manner that we ought to, this world is going to vex our soul.
Yes, it is.
It's going to vex our soul. Verse 8, for that righteous man dwelleth among them in seeing and hearing, and vexed his righteous soul from day to day. Every single day, his soul was vexed by the wicked environment that his choices had put himself in. Now, I want you to notice the severity of these words, okay? In verse 7, there's actually two separate words that are used for vexed. In verse 7, the first one means to be oppressed, to wear down, to toil, and to exhaust with labor. And then the second one, to torment, to torture, to vex with grievous pain, or to test metals by fire. That's intense. Yeah. That's some real pain. And you want to know what's so sad? He inflicted that pain on himself. Mm-hmm. You know, just like it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, the love of money is the root of all evil, and some have erred from the faith. These are children of God that have been deceived by covetousness. They've erred from the faith, and what did they do? They pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They're making themselves miserable.
Right, amen.
Why? Because they're pursuing the world instead of seeking the rest that we have in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But notice the severity of these words, okay? To torture, to literally torture. His soul is being tortured. Now, he inflicted a lot of this on himself to the degree that it was inflicted. But at the same time, even if we're living a righteous life, if our soul is not vexed with the wickedness of this world, that is a very good indication that we might be a little bit too friendly with
the
world.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Let's look at the word in John chapter 14. I should have got that while I was over there in chapter 16. John chapter 14 and in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And this word means to stir, to agitate, to roil water, to cause inward commotion, to disquiet, to make restless. It literally means stirring up the pot, stirring up that water. And that's what this world does. There's trouble in this world, but the struggle for the child of God is to not let the trouble of the world get down in your heart. That's the struggle. But what's the remedy for that, right? Praise God. He always gives us the remedy for it. Let not your heart be troubled. What's the remedy for it? Faith in God. Mm-hmm. Believe in God. You believe in God. You need to believe also in me. Thankfully, Psalm chapter 46 and verse 1, God is a very present help in time of what? In time of trouble, right? God's who we run to. We run to him in faith. Let's go to Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3. And in the middle of the heat of his tribulation, in the middle of the heat of his trial that Satan was inflicting upon Job, as God had removed that providential hedge, he finally throws up his hands and says, you know what? It would have been better for me. I've never been born. And he says in verse 13, Job chapter 3, for now should I have laid still and been quiet, then I should have slept, then I have been at rest. What's he seeking? What's he seeking? He's seeking rest. I know there's a lot of people in this room that will roll their eyes at this comment, but I just feel like I live perpetually tired nowadays. And I know I'm young. I know I'm still spry. I know I don't have it near as bad as any of y'all. But that don't mean that I just still feel tired all the time. And it doesn't matter how much I sleep anymore. I just feel tired all the time. And then I go and I have a bad day and I get frustrated and then... And, you know, I feel like I'm enduring my minor trouble. And it's minor. I know it is. I got to have a perspective and a reality check every now and then. But I know it's minor. But I get frustrated with myself. And all I want is just, I just want some rest. You know, I just want some peace. I just want some quietness of the soul, some quietness of the mind. Why? Because I'm tired of the trouble. Yeah. I'm tired of the trouble. And I know that I don't have it near as bad as many of you, okay? But what I'm saying is, and I definitely don't have it near as bad as Job did, but we seek rest.
Amen.
We want a peace from the trouble, don't we? We want a peace from the trouble. And he said, you know what? I just want some rest. And for that reason, you know, it'd be better for me if I was like, he says here in verse 16, if I was just like a baby that didn't even see the light. Verse 16, or as a hidden, untimely birth, I had not been as infants which never saw light. And he describes here the unborn child in the womb. And I don't believe we have the scriptural authority to make 100% statements about anyone as a child of God. But the scriptures give us a strong confidence that those that die in infancy, especially those that die in the womb prior to their natural birth, a strong confidence that they are, as we're going to see here in verse 17, they are at rest.
Amen.
They're with God. They're elect children of God. Because I'll tell you, I don't know a better description of heaven than verse 17 of where these infants are at. They're the wicked cease from troubling, and they're the weary be at rest. I'll tell you, that doesn't sound like hell to me.
No.
That sounds like heaven. Why? Because the wicked aren't troubling you anymore. Job had dealt with the trouble of the wicked here in this world, and he was tired of it. And he said, I just want some rest, and it'd be better if I was... I'm thankful, Job says. I'm thankful for the blessings of life. Praise God for the blessings of life. Oh, but that blessed little child to go immediately into rest and not have to deal with the trouble of this world. What a blessing for that little bitty elect child of God, because he dealt with the trouble of this world. He felt the pain and the torment that this world had on him, and he said, oh, that blessed little baby. That went immediately into the presence of Jesus, and he didn't have to deal with all the trouble of this world.
That's right.
There the weary be at rest. That's the place I want to be at.
Yeah.
Why? Because I get tired. I'm weary. And I'm tired of the trouble. I'm tired of the trouble of this world. There the weary be at rest. But praise God, we've been promised rest, right? Let's go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 6. These are some people in the churches of Asia Minor that are enduring tribulation. And he's giving them encouragement in the midst of that tribulation. Just as severe, if not more severe, than the church at Thessalonica. And he says in the ninth verse of Revelation chapter 6, when he had opened the fifth seal, he saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. They were martyrs. They were committed to the death. They were willing to be faithful to God, even unto the death. And they cry with a loud voice. You know, at this time, they're experiencing the eternal rest of being with God. But there's also something in them that's crying for judgment, too. They say, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? They're crying for judgment. They're crying for the righteous judge to come back. And white robes, in verse 11, were given unto them, every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season. Rest for a little season. Until their fellow servants also and their brethren, that they should be killed as they were, which should be fulfilled. You know, they are still crying for judgment. But God says, you know what? You're going to have rest. You're going to have rest for a little season. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. And in verse 11, Babylon has just fallen. Babylon has just fallen in this figurative depiction in the book of Revelation. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. Now, I want you to notice the contrast. The contrast between the eternal rest of God's children. And I want you to notice the balance and the contrast and the inversion between people who seemingly don't have any trouble here in this world and persecute the righteous and seem like they have everything together. But the elect, God's people, are on the other end of the spectrum, on the bottom end of the seesaw. And we are troubled here in this world and we don't have rest. But understand, those scales tip in eternity.
Amen.
Okay? The psalmist was saying that the wicked, they have everything going their way. There is no retribution for all this wickedness they're exacting. But I'm over here trying to live righteously, and nothing's going my way. I'm struggling. I'm being persecuted. And he's saying, they don't have any trouble. I've got all the trouble. Well, that seesaw tips the other way at the second coming of the Lord. Okay? So these people, they may look like they have the wicked may look like they have everything together right now in this world, but what is their final state? They have no rest, day or night. There's no rest. Think about that that rich man in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. There was no quenching that fire that he was enduring. None.
Thank you, Lord.
And praise God, that's what we've been saved from. That's what we deserve. That's what I deserve. But he saved us from that. There is no rest. There's no rest from the torment. But we've been given eternal rest. So then by contrast, you go a couple verses later. That's in verse 11. That's the lot, the eternal lot of the wicked. Verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Right, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Lord, they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. That's a pretty good message to those who seem to be laboring very, very hard here in this world.
Right.
Right? To have rest from your labors, that hope of eternal rest. And then finally, actually that word labors there, I want you to notice the severity of that word too, that you're getting a rest from, okay? That word labor means a cutting, toil, pain, a beating of the breast with sorrow or grief. Literally a cutting, pain that's being inflicted. And then, praise the Lord, we make our way to Revelation 21 and verse 5. And when we make our way to heaven and the new heavens and the new earth, there's no pain. There's no sorrow. There's no death. There's no more crying. And God wipes away every tear. You see, that's the eternal rest that God has promised. Now, I want you to notice the contrast, okay? Contrast between those that are troubling God's people. Those that are troubling God's people here in this world and don't seem to have any problems. And then the children of God that are enduring trouble, they experience eternal trouble and we have eternal rest. Mm-hmm. When's that ushered in? Let's get the rest of the context there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. You who are troubled, rest with us. You who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. And he's going to come in majesty. He's going to come in power. But I want you to note specifically in this context, he is coming in judgment. He is coming in vengeance. This is a group of people that have deferred to say, vengeance is the Lord. He will repay. They live their life that way. They're commending vengeance over the Lord. And then when he comes back, what's going to happen? He's going to carry out that vengeance. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And when he had come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. And you have, yet again, the contrast in verse 9 with the wicked who trouble the righteous and seem to have everything together. They seem to have everything together here in this world. But God is not mocked. What you sow, you will also reap. Okay? And that reaping is going to come at the final reaping, you know, that parable of the wheat and the tares. There's going to come a time where that sickle comes and the whole world's going to be reaped. Mm-hmm. Those that are troubled, rest with us. You see, the Apostle Paul, he took a lot of comfort in this fact individually. You know, I'm thankful that these truths, they're not just abstract. Paul says, this is what gives me comfort in the midst of my trouble. You know, he felt troubled on every side. He felt compressed and trapped and pressured. But what gave him comfort? The second coming of the Lord. I tell you, and isn't it surprising? Well, it shouldn't be surprising. That the entire canon of Scripture, not just the canon of Scripture, but that final book to those persecuted, troubled Christians, those seven churches in Asia Minor, how did that message of hope and encouragement to lift their eyes in the book of Revelation? You're enduring all this tribulation, you're enduring all this persecution, you're facing martyrdom. What lifted their eyes off of their trouble that they're dealing with in the moment? The final verses in the book of Revelation says, even so, I come quickly. It's pointing toward the second coming of the Lord. It's pointing toward the day that all wrongs are going to be made right. And he's going to usher in eternal rest usher in eternal rest to those that are troubled. Romans chapter 8, verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present world, they are not worthy to be compared. They're not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Any minor trouble that we endure here in this world, it's so insignificant in scope of eternity. Now, it's not insignificant, we're in the middle of it.
Right.
It's not. But it's so small. Paul was able to endure everything that he did for the kingdom, and he still called it a light affliction.
Right.
In comparison to what? The eternal weight of glory. There's eternal rest. There's eternal rest. And I tell you, your soul should be getting more troubled with this world every single day. You should be getting more vexed with this world every single day. But there is a message of comfort. There's a message of hope. There's a message of rest. And that's why we need to pray that same prayer as the Apostle John as he's closing the canons of Scripture. Yes, I come quickly. And then he says, even so come, Lord Jesus. Because that will usher in eternal rest. And just as we said at the beginning, just one glimpse, just one glimpse of the Lamb, just one glimpse of our Savior in glory will the toils of life repay. Just that first, there's not even a millisecond in heaven,
right,
but that first millisecond in heaven of seeing the face of the Lamb, now we will be able to look back through the sufferings of this world with the right perspective.
Amen.
Then we can say, oh, those were so light.
Yeah.
Those were so small. The trouble of this world is really nothing in weight of eternity, but it's so difficult to have that perspective in the midst of it. I'm so thankful God has given us the hope of eternal rest, especially Amen. When we get troubled. We get troubled here in this world.
We thank you for listening to today's message and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.